Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild perpetuity, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. It is May 1st. Mayday, mayday, mayday. We're coming in hot. As if. Seriously, though. Welcome. Lost my train of thought there for just a second. There's an interesting article. Go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, republicbroadcasting.org. There's an interesting article there. An Israeli historian discovers that the 6 million Holocaust figure, you know, they like to tell you 6 million Jews were killed during the Holocaust. Well, an Israeli historian has discovered that that number was, well, invented. Imagine that. I was just bouncing around looking at some of the different, news feeds that I follow periodically through the run of a day. ABC News has reported on Good Morning America that White House blocks Dr. Anthony Fauci from testifying before Congress next week, calls it counterproductive. White House has blocked Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and a member of the government's coronavirus task force, from testifying before House lawmakers next week, according to a Democratic spokesman for the House Appropriations Committee. White House spokesman Judd Deere said in a statement to ABC News it would be, quote, counterproductive, end quote, to the administrative's COVID-19 response for Fauci and other top officials to appear before lawmakers to discuss the government's actions in relation to the pandemic. So go to ABC News, look that one up if you feel so inclined. I just thought I'd share that with you. I thought it was a rather interesting that Trump is now pulling a Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama. Yeah, you get the idea. Anyway, so got a lot to cover this evening. Actually, really not a lot. I can probably cover it in relatively decent little bit of time and hopefully have some time for phone calls if people are feeling so inclined. First up, This coming out of the Huffington Post. I need to open this back up here. Food shortages. Do y'all remember over the past couple of weeks, I've mentioned several times the warnings of potential food shortages in the very near future. We first started with hearing the reports that Smithfield, one of the world's leading pork processing, in fact, actually the world's biggest pork processor, Smithfield Foods, had just about a week and a half ago, I guess it was now, actually about 2 weeks ago, had came out and said that they were shutting down their Sioux Falls, South Dakota plant because of the increased number of coronavirus positives in their employees, and that there was like, let me see, it was 238 employees had tested positive for the coronavirus, and that accounted at that time, and this was April 12th, at that time, that had accounted for 55% of all of the state's positive testing. And that's pretty scary when you think about an entire state, you know, that, you know, half of their cases are in one plant. Now that's pretty scary numbers. And not only is Smithfield Foods the world's largest pork processor, but it is one of the nation's largest processing facilities, this particular one in Sioux Falls, because they have several processing plants around the country, but this particular plant represented 4 to 5% of all U.S. pork production. Now, that's the pork industry taking a major hit. But then the next thing we learned was right around, right around the same time, we had the Chesterfield County, South Carolina, where the Department of Agriculture had confirmed that in Chesterfield County, South Carolina, they had detected a highly infectious and extremely fatal strain of avian flu working its way through poultry farms. Not the plants, not the processing plants, but the live farms, the farms where the animals actually live. All right. And it was they first caught it in a herd of turkey. And yes, folks, chickens are flocks, geese are flocks, ducks are flocks, turkey are herds. Don't ask me why, just the way it is. Call it a crazy, silly redneck thing, I don't know. But it's also, from the way I understand it, turkey are also the only bird known to be able to smell. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, just what my grandpa used to tell me. But they at first detected this highly infectious, extremely fatal strain of avian flu in the turkey flocks or turkey herds in Chesterfield County. You know, once you have it in one, you know, once you have it on one farm, the risks of it being spread to another farm are pretty easy because, you know, you are going to have other birds that are going to land in the fields where these turkey flocks are, turkey herd are. Okay, you're going to have other kinds of birds that are going to be landing there. they can very easily become infected, and then they fly 20, 30, 40 miles to the next farm. They land, and now they just infected. You see how that works? It's kind of like, it's kind of the same way that GMO contamination moves from one, you know, soybean field to another soybean field. And all it takes is for the bees or butterflies or hornets or whatever. Doesn't take much. You know, so it spreads the same, basically the same way. So, you know, now we've got, you know, the Smithfield Foods shutting down plants. We've got avian flu popping up in poultry farms in Chesterfield County, South Carolina. And don't forget, go back to December 2014, June 2015, when more than 50 million chickens had to be killed and turkeys had to be killed across 15 states because of an avian flu. So we are looking at another potential with that. Then what was the next thing we heard? The next thing we heard were beef processors. And this was only about maybe 5 days later. We started hearing talk among beef processors like Tyson, for example, where Sonny Perdue, Agricultural Secretary, was talking about, you know, the effects that were going to be seen because beef processors were going to be shutting down, because the restaurants and stuff that generally buy the higher end cuts of meat, like the really expensive steaks and T-bones and ribeyes and you know, your really good quality meats, your quality cuts of meat, the restaurants aren't opening, so they're not buying the meat. And then all of a sudden they started seeing, you know, coronavirus positives popping up in their plants. And again, we have this whole thing happening again, only now it's the beef the beef industry. And then, of course, you know, what was it last year, last summer, when Trump was talking about the USMCA deal that they were working on? At that time, when he was working on, with Mexico and Canada to create the USMCA, we had 43 million gallons of milk being dumped every day across the country because dairy farmers couldn't sell their milk. And now all of a sudden, what do we hear? Millions of dozens of eggs being smashed daily. Again, millions of gallons of milk being dumped daily. And all because of the coronavirus. And then, of course, China. You know, they got this African swine fever ripping its way through their hog farms. So we've got all of this going on. And what does Trump do? He turns around and he invokes the Defense Preparedness Act again, or I'm sorry, the Defense Production Act again, only this time. And let me open this up. The headline reads, workers demand coronavirus protection as Trump orders meatpacking plants to stay open. Trump is frantically trying to stop meat processing plants from shuttering their doors. Now, the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union, which represents 1.3 million food and retail workers, responded to an order by President Trump by saying that to remain open, then employees need access to the federal stockpile of personal protective equipment, also known as PPE, and daily testing, you know, taking temperatures and such things as that. Sorry for that little break there. As summer starts coming in, I have a real bad problem with chapped lips. So I was putting a little Carmex on my lips here to try to deal with that. I've always had this problem even when I was a child. On Tuesday, Trump announced he would use the Defense Production Act to keep meatpacking facilities open, further raising safety concerns for workers and surrounding communities, which have already become hotspots for the coronavirus. According to the order, quote, and this comes directly from Trump's or the order that Trump put out, quote, to combat the crisis and ensure the adequate availability of food for the American people, it is vital that these processors are able to remain operating at this critical moment while also taking steps to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in their facilities. End quote. Now, what we have to keep in mind is, I don't know if you're aware of this number or not, but over 20 meat packing plants have already closed their doors temporarily. And they did this because local authorities in their area pressured them, as well as the workers of these plants, put pressure on the owners to close the doors. Now, something we need to keep in mind is that these really are essential workers. Because if food production stops, guess what happens next? Remember Bernie Sanders? Well, bread lines aren't really all that bad. Because that's where you're going to end up with. You know, that's where you're going to end up. And let's not forget that we also had Donald Trump put together a $19 billion relief package in order to buy milk, meat, and other things as this to help the farmers. This means that you're going to be getting your food. If these plants continue to close down like this, you'll end up getting your food directly from the government of the United States. And I'm not talking about the government of the United States of America. What you need to understand is there are two United States. There's the United States of America as founded, and then there is the United States of America. There is the United States Corporation, of which Donald Trump is the CEO. And we know this to be a fact because we had Colonel Allen West of Florida during the Obama administration actually come out and tell us Barack Obama was the CEO of the corporation known as the United States. Well, many of us have been telling you this for a long time. But Donald Trump's put together that $19 billion package to buy meat and eggs and milk and such things as that from farmers. So now he's invoking this Defense Production Act again in an attempt to force plants to continue working. Well, here's the problem. If they do not have masks, if they do not have the proper gloves, if they don't have proper ventilation, if they are not shut in, and here's, you know, Donald Trump does not understand. I used to work at ConAgra over here in Elberton, Georgia, which is where the Georgia Guidestones are. It's a 45-minute drive from my house to Elberton, Georgia. And I used to work there at ConAgra, which was bought out several years ago by Pilgrim's Pride. It's already enough that they have to shut down periodically to clean the machines, to clean the conveyor belts, clean this, clean that, clean the other thing. I mean, it's a daunting task to shut down a meat processing plant just to do your normal average daily cleaning, which happens several times throughout the day. Under these conditions with this coronavirus, they will have to shut down at least twice as much to do their deep cleaning, which they normally don't do, but once a day. They do a shutdown with a brief clean, fire it back up. But they do a hard shutdown daily, do a full plant scrub down, then fire back up. Under these conditions, they will have to do this hard shutdown 2, possibly 3 or more times a day. This undue wear and tear on the machinery, which causes the cost of running the plant to go up. Your workers are going to have to work twice as hard. And if they don't have the right masks and ventilation and gloves and smocks and all kinds of sorts of other PPE, the risk of contamination. I don't know how many of you have ever had food poisoning before. I've had it. It ain't fun. Now, what I had was botulism. Granted, it's not salmonella, but botulism ain't no fun either. The coronavirus, all it's going to take is for one person without the proper PPE to come in contact with the wrong individual at the wrong damn time, and now the virus is in your food. And when they're grinding up beef and grinding up pork and grinding up chicken and grinding up turkey for the ground meats, or they're, you know, and all the other different types of processing that goes on, because yeah, you got ground beef, ground pork, ground turkey, you know, ground pork to make sausage and stuff like that, ground beef to make hamburger meat and such as that, ground turkey for those of you who don't want to eat red meat. You know, ground chicken and this, that, and the other. But then there's, well, you got your chicken patties and you got your chicken nuggets and all of that, which is even further processed. And all it takes is one person to come in contact with the wrong individual at the wrong time, and bam. This ain't like dealing with E. coli. Granted, yeah, E. coli can kill people. But, you know, this is not another health issue that we need. So my attitude, if I were working one of these plants, the day I walk in and I ain't got the right kind of mask and the right kind of gloves and the right kind of this and the right kind of that, my happy ass is going out getting my truck. I'm going home. Because I'm not going to be made sick. I'm going to be responsible for making somebody sick. This is a very dangerous tightrope that Trump is walking right now. And he needs to be extra careful. Now with that, we have Sheriff Tony Thompson of Black Hawk County, which is in Iowa. He has blasted Tyson Fresh Meats, which has a plant in his county. Quote, "We know that the Iowa coronavirus outbreaks and threats to the food supply chain are due to these inept, reactionary, and dysfunctional responses to what was happening in the Waterloo plant, which employs 2,800 workers. He is, as he says, furious at the inept and dysfunctional behavior of Tyson Fresh Meats. And he says, quote, it incenses me. It's frustrating that my citizens are more at risk than any other county in the state, end quote. Additionally, about 900 of the 2,200 employees at Tyson Pork processing plant in Logansport, Indiana, have also positive for the coronavirus. Folks, this is, I hate to be the, I'm not the kind of guy that likes to spread fear porn, but gee, Jiminy frickin' crickets, is there no end to this? You know, I'm almost thinking it would be a whole heap better to just shut down all these plants and let people like me go to the ranchers, go to the farmers and say, look, I know how to dress an animal out. Let me come in. I'll bring my cousin. I'll bring in a bunch of guys. We all know how to dress an animal out. We'll come in. We'll start stringing them up, and we'll start slaughtering them right out there in the field and sell right at open air right to the people. Because that would be a hell of a lot damn safer. This is just freaking ridiculous. Next up, how, you know, I read you this article about 3 weeks ago about a letter to the editor which came out in the Los Angeles Times opinion piece about how paying rent right now is like being stuck in a rigged game of Monopoly. And they were, and basically what they were saying was, you know, imagine trying to play Monopoly and you're sitting on Boardwalk or Park Place and you're not allowed to move while everybody else continues to get to play and your rent just keeps piling up and piling up. Well, that's what they're equating this to right now, having to pay rent when they're out of work. I get it. Okay. My heart goes out to these people. You're not working. Money's tight. But, you know, you got to think about the guy that his entire revenue comes strictly from renting out property. He has no job. His ability to pay his bills and feed his family depends on you paying your rent. Now, he's got overhead, like he's responsible for maintenance and upkeep on the house that you rent. Something breaks, he's got to fix it. So you don't want to pay your rent. How about your kitchen sink blows a gasket? Your garbage disposal goes on the fritz. I don't know, whatever. How about if he don't come and fix it? You see, actually, there's a thing that you can do if you're a landlord and your tenant don't pay rent. You don't have to fix nothing until they make due on the rent. See how that works? Yeah. Now, I don't know if they can still do that now, but I know when I was growing up and Mama owned property, you didn't pay your rent, she wouldn't fix the house. She didn't care. But she also started the process of evicting you. Well, right now, Ilhan Omar, she's put forth a bill along with some others. Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar has unveiled a bill that would cancel rent and mortgage payments for millions of Americans struggling amid the coronavirus pandemic. Under the legislation announced on Friday, landlords and mortgage holders would be able to have losses covered by the federal government. The program would extend for a month beyond the end of the national emergency, which was declared on March 13th, and would be made retroactive to cover April payments. Okay, so now if you read this, it says that landlords and mortgage holders would be able to have losses covered by the federal government, meaning the government would pay your rent for you. The government would pay your mortgage for you. What a relief, huh? What a relief. Question is, are they just blowing smoke? Because I'm here to tell you, yesterday when I went to check out the line at the food bank just to see what it was like, I have food. I'm not worried about that. I got food. I don't need to go to food bank. But I wanted to go and see what it was like. Just because I had to see for myself. if what I believed or suspected was true, and it was. And I talked to several people, and out of all the, I probably talked to a dozen or so people, and I went like every third or fourth car and just randomly talked to people. Told them who I was, what I was doing. I didn't do any recordings or anything like that. I just wanted to talk to people, get their feedback, get their thoughts. Not one person that I talked to. In fact, I've still been talking to other people. I've been talking to people for over a week now. I have yet to meet anyone. Oh, no, I take it back. I met one person who got her $1,200 stimulus check. She works at the bank, and she's been working every day since this started. People out of work not getting that $1,200 check, but yet people at the bank who have been working every day since this began, they got their check. I'm sorry, but something is seriously damn wrong. And while we're on the topic of Ilhan Omar, did you know that she she is on track to have paid her husband by the end of this year $1.16 million to pay her husband's consulting company? That's twice what they paid him last year. I'm sorry, folks. Something wrong here. Again, the first 3 months of 2020, Omar paid more than $290,000 to the E Street Group, a fundraising and consulting group run by Minette. The firm also received a total of $523,000 for the whole of last year. Yeah. Things seriously wrong here, folks. Then there's AOC and the squad. They have been holding Congress feet to the fire for lack of depth in economic relief bills that should protect working people. AOC has repeatedly brought attention to the fact that many people will not be able to make their rent or mortgage payments at the end of April, especially with more than 30.3 million people currently filing for unemployment benefits as a result of losing work due to the global pandemic. Remember about a week and a half ago, I told you that in only 2 weeks, 20 million people had lost their jobs. In the past week, over 10 million more have lost their jobs. We are fast-tracking to beat unemployment rates of the Great Depression. This is not good. Now, Representative AOC Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez will co-sponsor a bill proposed earlier this month by Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar that would cancel all rent and mortgage payments nationwide for the duration of the period or the pandemic. Other co-sponsors include, and here's the typical list: Rashida Tlaib, Democrat out of Michigan; Ayanna Pressley, Democrat of Massachusetts; Pramila Jayapal, Democrat of Washington; Mark Pecan, Democrat of Wisconsin; Veronica Escobar, Democrat of Texas; Jesus Garcia, Democrat of Illinois; and Grace Meng, Democrat of New York. It's called the Rent and Mortgage Cancellation Act and will include full forgiveness of missed payments with no impact on renters or homeowners' credit scores, a relief fund for landlords and mortgage holders, and efforts to increase the availability of affordable housing options. Omar said in a press release, quote, Congress has a responsibility to step in to stabilize both local communities and the housing market during this time of uncertainty and crisis. In 2008, we bailed out Wall Street. This time, it's time to bail out the American people who are suffering. Here's the thing. There's no reason for all of this. If we had done what Sweden did. Now, I had this discussion earlier today as I was out and about shopping. I had this discussion with a guy. And basically, I was going shopping for materials for my property here. Because like I said, I don't have to buy groceries. I got produce basically everything I eat right here on my own property. So I don't have to worry about groceries. But I do need other things. I need building materials, fencing, fence posts, things like that, that have to be replaced or repaired and, you know, things like this. Well, I had this discussion with a guy earlier today that there was no need for any of this if we had just followed Switzerland's example. And he said, yeah, but look at how many people got sick over there in Switzerland and how many people died. And I said, stop, just stop. At some point in time, I don't care who you are going to be infected. You are going to be exposed to this virus one way or the other. I don't care what you do or how hard you try unless you decide it's time to live in a bubble. You are going to be exposed. You are either going to not come down sick because you'll be asymptomatic. Two, come down sick, spend a week or two at home, cover and be fine. Three, come down sick, maybe have to go into the hospital, but you'll recover and then you'll go home and you'll be okay. Or four, you're going to die. Those are the only four options you've got. At some point, you are going to be infected. You are going to be exposed. Walking around with a bottle of hand sanitizer in your pocket, in one pocket, a pair of rubber gloves in another pocket, and a mask on your face is only going to postpone the inevitable. It's kind of like economy with respect to Federal Reserve notes. You can only kick the national debt can so far down the road. Eventually, you're going to run out of can to kick. Same thing here. You can only kick the coronavirus can down the road for so long. At some point, you're going to miss. You're going to run out of can, and then you're going to be exposed. This is where Sweden actually is going to do a lot better than we will come next season, because they will have already, for the most part, developed herd immunity. So they won't be hit near as hard. While you, Mr. and Mrs. America, come next winter, guess what you're going to be doing again? You're going to be back wearing your little face mask, walking around with your rubber gloves and your hand sanitizer, socially distancing all year long. And who knows, we may see more vegetable fields being plowed under, more animals being euthanized. And yeah, you get the idea, right? Let's stop the damn stupid already. I am getting so sick of this crap. Then there's the paycheck guarantee. This article just came out today. A group of senators, Mark Warner, Democrat of Virginia, Bernie Sanders, he calls himself an independent or libertarian or independent out of Vermont, bullshit, he's a socialist. Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, Doug Jones, Democrat of Alabama, all have introduced the Paycheck Security Act. What this is it sees that at least 20% of your month-to-month drop in revenue. Let me see. All right. Under the senator's proposal, Businesses that see at least a 20% month-over-month drop in revenues could receive grants to help cover workers' payroll and benefits for at least 6 months. The grant would cover benefits up to $90,000 in wages for each furloughed or laid-off employee, and the grant also includes up to 20% of revenue to pay rent, utilities, insurance policies, and maintenance. People, do you know, make $90,000 in the run of 6 months? All your boss has got to do is lay you off, pay you minimum wage, and he makes out like a bandit. Folks, this is getting crazy. And finally, well, not finally, because we still got one more thing after this. Chris Hayes tears into Tucker Carlson for peddling coronavirus trutherism. MSNBC host Chris Hayes on Tuesday night blasted cable news rival Tucker Carlson and Fox News as a whole for pushing dangerous disinformation about the COVID-19 pandemic, accusing the Fox News host of peddling, quote, coronavirus truthism and faux pas populism by claiming the virus isn't that deadly, end quote. Well, Mr. Hayes, I got news for you. It's not as deadly as they want you to believe it is. When we have health officials now coming out telling us that depending on where you live in the country, the actual numbers of those who have been infected or exposed are between 45 and 55 times higher than reported numbers. Well, let me see. If you had 1,000 reported numbers, that means in actuality, as many as 55,000 people actually were exposed. So if you have a state like Georgia, which has, I think, close to 2,000 cases now, or 3,000, we're about 5,000 cases now. Well, that would mean, 55 times 5. Let me see. Let me pull up my calculator here so I can do this real quick. We have about 5,000 cases here in Georgia. If we multiply that times 55, that means while they're saying that 5,000 cases have been reported, in actuality, that's 275,000 actual cases of people being exposed. Now, they're saying L.A., the number is 55 times higher than what's being reported. Now, you do the math. That takes the mortality rate of this virus from a 4.0 mortality rate down to a 0.1 mortality rate. There's a whole lot of difference between 4 and 0.1. See what I'm saying? So, sorry, Mr. Hayes, but it's not as deadly as they want you to believe. And finally, Biden beats Trump. Just a hypothetical here. If Biden beats Trump, financial markets seemed relieved when Bernie Sanders dropped from the race and Joe Biden became the de facto Democrat presidential nominee. But markets will have to adjust if Biden actually beats Trump in November and moves into the White House next year. There are two President Biden scenarios. And keep this in mind. One, which the Republicans retain control of the Senate, and the other, where Democrats pick up 4 seats, take the majority, and then they have the House, the Senate, and the White House. Now, if they manage the second one, and the Senate goes back to the Democrats, that's a real concern for markets because you end up getting more pressure for Medicare for All, the Green New Deal, new taxes, bigger and better. According to Greg Valeri, chief U.S. policy strategist for AGF Investment. If the Senate stays Republican, that's the firewall to prevent any activist legislation leaving the House, which will keep the Democrats in check. Now, the odds of a complete Democrat takeover, that's a far reach at best. And, you know, it might have had a shot with Bernie, but with Biden, I just don't see it happening, especially if he goes with this quack we've got here in Georgia named Stacey Abrams. And I want you to keep in mind, folks, she is out lobbying Biden hardcore. Ooh, pick me. Claiming she's the best woman for the job. Because Biden said he's going to pick a woman. And she says that she's the best woman for the job because she represents the best in diversity. Well, let me see. She's black. She's a woman. She's ugly. She definitely needs to do something with that hair. A little dental work wouldn't hurt. She's fat. I'm sorry. I shouldn't rag on her that bad. The truth is, she's the worst possible pick. While all of the Democratic hopefuls, whether it be Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, whoever, it doesn't matter. Any woman on the Democrat ticket, on the Democrat side. Out of all the possibilities, Stacey Abrams is the worst possible choice. Because she has come out and said that as far as she is concerned, if you're not in the military, well, actually the only people should be allowed to own firearms, police, and military personnel. But here's what she's not telling you. If you ever leave law enforcement, you don't get to keep your gun because you go back to being a private citizen, and private citizens just, well, in the words of Charlie Rangel, well, private citizens just shouldn't have to carry guns. If you leave the military, you don't get to take your guns with you because you're going back to being a civilian, which means you have to either be military until the day you die or be law enforcement to the day you die. And then the only way you get to keep your guns is if your job requires you to carry one. See how that works? Because private individuals shouldn't be carrying guns. And if that ain't bad enough, Stacey Abrams also comes out and says, as if no one should be allowed to carry guns except for law enforcement and military, she also has the nerve to come out and make comments like, it's a damn shame when you got to resort to being a farmer just to make a living. Well, I can tell by looking at you, Miss Abrams, you ain't missed too many meals. And if you think that T-bone or that hog leg or whatever that you chowing on, there's no such thing as a bacon tree, okay? Hamburgers don't grow on bushes, all right? It takes farmers to raise the food that you stick in your fat frickin' face. And I'm proud to be a farmer. That's why I will be busting my ass. If Biden picks you, I will be working triple time to ensure that you lose the Georgia vote. You think I worked hard to hand you a defeat when you went up against Brian Kemp for governor? Oh, I will work doubly hard to make sure you don't become vice president. Freaking make me sick. Well, we got it all in. We sure did. And we could have taken a call, but nobody wanted to call in. I guess everybody was just enjoying what I was having to say there. All right. So, every Sunday, Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. American Renegade with me, Art Underground. Tuesdays, Suzette Live Talk, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Thursday, RZ's Thursday Tune Shows, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And Saturdays, RZ's Saturday Free Speech Zone, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. That is your weekly lineup every week. Note, tomorrow, RZ Saturday Free Speech Zone will not air. Something came up. He will not be able to make it. I would have covered for him, except for Saturday is the only day really I have to myself. And I like to go fishing on Saturdays, and where I go fishing generally takes me out of town, so I won't be in town on Saturdays, which is why I don't do a Saturday broadcast anymore. Now that summertime is here, I get to go back into my summer routine. So, tomorrow there will be no RZ Saturday Free Speech Zone, but he should be back next Saturday. With that, hope to see y'all this coming Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. And with that, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Hope it's been insightful and informative. Big shout out to my buddy Frog out there in Wichita, Kansas, hanging out with his family. Thanks, bro. Look forward to seeing you whenever you finally get around to coming this way. I know he's listening because I just talked to him before going live. And so I know he's listening. So big shout out to my buddy Frog. We'll see you when you get here. Keep me posted on what's happening out there so I know what's going on. And with that, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up. Speak out and let your voice be heard. For American Renegade, I'm Art Underground. Be safe out there. Yeah.
Now you're gone to make it to free.